November the 18th, 2020, this program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Murad Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihu kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is El Islam, the tafsir of Imam Waqidin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradio.maradspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talk that you have missed. So we'll continue where we left off last Thursday. I'm making in the earth a Khalifa. Getting back to where I was with this discussion, God says he's making in the earth a Khalifa. Now, an individual ruler, is he called Khalifa or Caliph? Caliph, if you say Caliph, you are speaking of his reign, his rule, not him personally. So God doesn't say, I am making Caliph in the earth. He says, I am making a Khalifa in the earth. I am forming a rule, a governmental order, in the earth that is going to be supported by human excellence. And it won't work without my soul or my spirit in it. But once I have put into it my spirit, then you make your sajda to it. So that's what he told the angel. So this is a divinely inspired republic, bringing the language to the agree with our language. We don't want to speak our language. We don't have to keep saying Khalifa. This is a divinely inspired republic. Now, you students, if you don't know the meaning of a republic, you should look it up. Republic didn't start with the West. Republic goes way back, and people came in out of republics, and they came to the concept. It works beautifully with them for a certain time in history. While people, crazy people, people with a different mind, dictators got into power, and the republic is gone. But in time, the republic comes back just like human excellence comes back. Now, should we look at the Republic Party? Yes. Look at it again and see how far it is right now from being a reflection of a true republic. So you are talking about a party. I'm talking about a real deal. So if you study the Nation of Islam right now, some of them are republics, even though they have a lot of trouble politically in terms of their political ideology. But they present themselves as republics. Well, I don't know. Some things I hesitate to say to you, because even you who have good intentions, beautiful souls, beautiful people, you have good intentions. But you are holding on to a spider web, and you think that is what is keeping you from falling. So you won't let go of the spider web. So if I say something that will make you have to get or have to let go of the spider web, you would just hold on to the spider web. And you think that spider web is holding you up. You are too big and too heavy. You are human. That spider web is not holding you up. You can let it go. You are not going to fall. So the closest ideology for authority over the people, providing for them an ideology or a political ideology to govern their lives, as a governmental order or a political order, the closer to what Allah planned in Scripture before Quran and in Quran is what we find in the language of the founding fathers for this constitution and this society that we have. And I can prove it. The royal family of Saudi Arabia, they know that they have to make changes. It is slowly coming, and the pressure is on them. The pressure is getting stronger and stronger. They know they are going to have to give up that family rule of the people. That is un-Islamic. I love them too. And I'm still a member of the Supreme Council of Masjids in Saudi Arabia, just like I love our brother from the Nation of Islam. And I'll be their friend until I die. And I'm going to die their friend. But I'm not pleased with the way their heads are situated. Oh, he's talking about Farrakhan. I didn't say his head. Their heads. I'm not pleased with the way their heads are situated. Their heads is Farrakhan. Not necessarily. Farrakhan is here now and he will be gone like I will be. But those brothers are already situated in their thinking. And Farrakhan is afraid to turn them around himself. He is afraid they might be a terrible consequence if he tries to turn them around. Then he looks at what he's enjoying, such as life. So the ideal society, the way it is supposed to be organized, so that all of the members of it come under the one authority, the one and the same authority, and it is fair and equal, fair by all members. It isn't favoring one over the other. It should not favor one race over the other. It should not favor rich over the poor or poor over the rich. Some of us would like to see the poor put over the rich. Now, I won't do that until the poor gets rich. But we have to get get our heads together. Allah has blessed us to come through the experiences that is in my understanding and in my knowledge was a divine intervention. Do you hear what I'm saying? A divine intervention to situate us to get where we are now under my leadership. And now the way is open and clear, and the best of the people of the world, they will respect the truth that I made, the turn that I made. And the Christians, I met Pope John Paul II, a wonderful man, a great soul. I met him. I didn't know that was possible, but I had to meet him. The desire was in me to meet him. And do you know what my idea was? God was working with me, and I did not even know it. The name of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was heard at the Vatican. My idea was if the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I couldn't go to the Protestants or to the Baptist convention, but I thought there was a small chance that the Pope would accept me to visit him. I thought it all the time, and when I heard that my friend, Reverend Jesse Jackson, he went there, visited, and had an audience with the Pope. I said, if the Pope receives him, he just might receive me. I said, just might, because I am the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I don't have any sheepskins. I don't have anything from them. It can't contact any institution, school of theology, classes, or anything. I have not been there, but I said to myself, I believe there is a possibility. So I put a little something out there, fishing, to see what would happen, and nothing happened for a few years. And finally, Abdul Malik Muhammad, my former partner, he had lived in Washington and Baltimore, and he knew of Cardinal Killer. So he said, I think you can get the visit. So he went and talked to Cardinal Killer. Actually, he is the Bishop of Baltimore. He gave me an audience. I told him exactly what I expressed to others, and Abdul Malik was one of them. And he said, I think it can be arranged. And Cardinal Killer arranged it. The okay was given for me to go and visit the Vatican. And I visited the Vatican, and I met with the Pope. I was invited back again and went with top leaders from around the country. In the presence of the Pope, while he sat there, and I delivered a short speech, very carefully worded. And the name of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was heard in the Vatican, in the Pope's ear, and in the ears of those special leaders who had come. They are from around the world, among them Muslim leaders from the Islamic world. Yes. So I gave my speech and I sat down, went back to my seat and sat down, and I said to myself, if I can get a visit to the Vatican and be in the presence of the Pope, we will be known, all over the world. And we will be known in the right picture, because what I am going to say in his presence is what I want to be heard all around the world, that we are a new people, a special people. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had more than one feature. He had a feature that you saw and a feature that he revealed. Or he shared with close friends like my brother, Imam Muhammad from Nashville, Tennessee. He was welcome in my father's house and as a blood brother of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He sat at his table, ate with him, laughed and talked with him. They had good times together. Not just minister business. They had human business together. Praise be to Allah. Allah made Muhammad for the whole universe. So I said all of that to say this. Don't underestimate your value in the world of human beings. In the world of religious orders, religions, you are like the pagan Arab, who have been converted from shirk and from paganism, and you are not familiar with the Quran, and you are not familiar with the Bible as scripture. You know Christianity. When you were a Christian, you knew it by faith, not by knowledge, not by logic. So you have to support me by faith. Some of you come and listen to me and say, okay, are you finished, Brother Imam? Yes, I'm finished. Well, that speech was the best talk you ever gave. How do you know? Do you have the knowledge and the insight to give me an A, B, C, D, or F, or whatever? Give it up, man. Turn back from that and follow me on faith. When Allah gave Muhammad to that environment, he was not to stay there. Allah made Muhammad for the whole universe, for the world, all people, all nations. But he was immediately placed amongst the Arabs. And when he began speaking to them, they could not understand much, but they knew his character. They knew his truthfulness, his honesty. They knew his high human worth amongst them. They knew all of that. So they followed him based upon what they knew of him as a wonderful, special person of excellence on the highest level when it comes to character. They knew that. But his knowledge, they differed with him, didn't they? That is what caused the problem. It was not his character. It was his knowledge that God gave him. When he started to speak, that knowledge, it interrupted their thinking and interrupted their way of life and everything. Then they had a big problem with him. But the problem was not with him as a person. And you all, I know you have little things to say about me too. Well, I heard when he was a boy, he used to go to dance. I still want to dance. But I wasn't a bad dancer. I wasn't indecent. I wasn't trying to take some woman to bed off of the dance floor. I knew how to leave her there or take her home and not touch her. I was human. I was a teenager, and a human teenager. Did I like pretty girls? You bet I did. Did I like to hold them in my arms and dance? You bet I did. But you know, looking back on my life after waking up and getting a higher understanding of what my behavior should be, as a creation of God, some of the things that I prayed many times for Allah to forgive me for that. And I just stopped praying after a while. You know, I said, God has given me all of this help with the Quran, all of this help with Muhammad the Prophet. He has given me all of this help, and I am reaching people in goodness. Is growing. Why should I ask him to forgive me? He has already forgave me. He did more than forgive me. He forgave me and then showed me mercy. So the most beautiful nation is in the wilderness of North America. I just want to say to you all, in the words of Mr. Farad, I can sit on top of the world and tell anyone that the most beautiful nation is in the wilderness of North America. And believe me, that is not an exaggeration a bit. I have said this with you all on many occasions when I was as a young minister on Greenwood. That is where the temple was in Chicago. One day, I think it was at night, when I gave the address at the temple, I said, we need to see ourselves as a new people on this planet Earth. I said, yes, they are African, but they are no new people. They are in Africa, but we are not Africans anymore. We have been completely separated from that lifeline. So we are not Africans anymore. Now, if we are completely separated from our lifeline with Africa, then we are a new people. And if we are not comfortable with our existence as a people in this new circumstances on these western shores in America, then that tells me, as a people, spirit-wise, custom, etc., that we are not yet formed as we want to be formed. So actually we are a new people forming or trying to be formed in the United States of America. I think that would be true of the island also. Whereas we are existing, I went down to South America, and there are many of us in South America, in Brazil. And the way they ran and greeted us when I was down there, do you know what they said? It was years ago when Muhammad Ali was still floating like a butterfly and stinging like a bee. They saw us. They knew we were from the United States. They came in a crowd, it looked like, of 1,000 youngsters or more. They started running towards us saying, Ali Bumbaye, Ali Bumbaye. We could see that they were so happy to see us, our people. Now, what is it that caused them to gravitate towards us like that? It is that they have the same genes or the same ancestral life that we have. Not necessarily. In fact, I do not. That is what brought them to us in that spirit. So what brought them to us in that spirit is that we are people of the same experiences, environment, and what you experience, that is what shapes your spirit. It leaves impressions on your spirit. It forms your spirit. It forms your spirit in you all over again. And when you are subjected to the different environments or a different experience over a period of generations, so this is what formed the people. So we are people of one spirit. The spirit determines your life. So we are a people of one spirit. The spirit is that we are put down by worlds. Their spirit is that the world doesn't think that we are of the same human value that they are of. That's our human value. It's less than theirs. That is their spirit. And we are social rejects. That is what we were. And they were social rejects. And we were brought here to be slaves. They were brought there to be servants. And disturbed servants. Or slaves, the same. And they looked at their face and says, they are not one of us. You all stay to yourselves. The same thing was in South America. That was here. I didn't care how much freedom we have been given and how good things look. On the whole, most white people still have the same spirit when it comes to us. Don't fear the criticism of the criticizer. So they accept your rights, but please stay to yourself. And that's exactly what we should do. More so at this time than any other time in our history of thousands of years in Africa and America. Now is the time for us to stay to ourselves and build a model society and answer God's invitation that he extended to the Islamic world. Let there come out of you a community upholding the best of what I have revealed and given to you in Muhammad, and being afraid of the criticism of any criticizer. That is Quran. You will be there one. You will be the one that will be successful. Well, I said that. Well, I said the covenant has lost its barrier. And we are picking it up. We are going to carry the covenant. Yes. And we are to carry the government of God, the covenant of God, here in America. And we are going to establish a people and a community inside of this United States of America that will be a witness, that will be a testimony before all nations of the world that the marvelous thing has been done by God here in the United States of America. And I'm telling you that our model will have more power to convert the world to Islam than anything they ever had going for them other than Prophet Muhammad himself and the best of his followers at that time. So don't doubt. You don't have enough insight. You don't have enough scholarly knowledge to test me with what you know. So please accept by faith. Please accept me, my faith in you and be like I am by you. I want you and I accept you on faith. I accept you because I have faith in you. Okay, you accept me because you have faith in me. And don't let those so-called scholars and learned people who just don't want to see anybody in America recognize as an authority for Islam but themselves. Now, I'm not pointing at any ethnic group or race, because all of them are like that. So the focus is on human life. So don't let them get into your head and mess your mind up and tempt you with their theater garments and whatever, draw you into Aladdin and his lamp time. Don't let that happen. Alibaba in the 40 thieves, Aladdin and his lamp. That is what I see when I look at a lot of you all, the way you act and the way you dress and the way you make over a little soft tree stick called a smizwack, your sandals and your stage garments, I'm telling you. And it is not a regular theater. It is one that twists your head. So don't let them play with us like that. Our Lord who created us has made us very special, and we don't want to. The shame, the high place that he has invited us to. So the focus is on human life. Man in the universe, mind, human mind in the universe. That is what we mean by man, mind. Because man, if you look it up in the dictionary, it is plural. It means male and female, not just male. So when you say man and we say man in the focus that we have, this is religion, God's revelation. So we are talking about a plural body that is male and female. So man in the universe, that is what we are talking about. And how Allah made the universe for the mind of human beings to engage. And in turn, as we seek to know what the universe says to our minds, we get something to put or add to our perception of the universe and the thing inside the universe. So this engagement is like the universe is alive, too. The universe is communicating to our minds, and our minds is communicating to the concept that we see. And the concept is growing. The universe is changing its picture. It is just growing. It is becoming a living thing with so many beautiful natures and beautiful identities that we never saw before because of our intelligence discovering these things. So it is an interaction. And then we take that knowledge and apply it to our circumstances down here in the neighborhood. And that knowledge grows up the life of the neighborhood. It makes the community more beautiful, more intelligent, and more productive. So this is what we want, and this is what we are going to have. So this is where we are. And I'm going to dwell on the human identity so much for so long, you are going to think that the human identity is a cookbook. Thank you. Imam Idris. Assalamu alaikum. This is paradise. The Imam wanted me to share something I brought from Charleston, and it relates to something he said and have been saying to us over the years, that the greedy entertainment world and crooked commercial world are planning to eliminate the masses of people that they have or they think or they created to be unproductive. They have become a burden to bear. Because when I start opening up, they want to get rid of you. So the imam says down in Charlton that they planning, he may not be here, they are planning, if we don't get our life together, to eliminate us. He said that on the 23rd of September, the very next day, weeks, a city councilman by the name of Larry Shirley said in the newspaper, because some youth had stuck up a Hollywood video shot, that produced the monsters that they want to get rid of. He said that if these families or these mothers cannot take care of their children and raise them right, we should do them like we do animals. Save them, get rid of them, that they can be unproductive. So now, please, after we hear this, that we are hearing now, let's not just sit on it. When we go back to our city, let's work this because we should love our people, and we know they have been put down, and we should take this powerful information that God has blessed us with and start working. The community denies Satan the opportunity to just annihilate us. So we have been thorough. We have been through that. So this is our rise now. And we want all of our people, Christian, Israelite, whatever they call themselves, we want all of them to enjoy this. As-salamu alaykum. Imam W. D. Muhammad. He's a very special person, and the mayor of Charlottetown and the council there, the government, they have a lot of respect for him because they knew that he is not working for selfish ends, that he is working for a cause that includes all human beings. They know him, and they knew he will stand up for what is right, and that he actually is doing campaigning that for the mayor accepting to be an interview by a newspaper reporter and said of the one in the government power, seat of government, that you can't depend on them. How are the slaves going to depend on Pharaoh? But he pointed to what was usually happening in that city, and how the majority of the non-Jews are not owning anything and are not doing much of anything, and how a few Jews are owning a lot. So he pointed to it, and he really didn't say the government is the blame. He said the fault is that you all won't take it into your own hands to change your condition, or as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, to do for self. Don't depend on others, but do for self. The mayor obviously still supports him. So the interviewer wanted to use, the interviewer wanted to use, in fact, he thought he had what he could use against the mayor. He got that together from our brother to turn the masses of the people against the mayor. But the mayor, I believe, is still supporting Brother Idris, to my knowledge. So I know he's still supporting him, and he's supporting my visit there. And I have been going there for several years, attending their cultural events in mayor's office. Takes care of my travel and my lodging, hotel and travel. I don't have to pay anything. So it is wonderful. I appreciate him standing up as he does. And I thought the way he presented the picture of our people was powerful. He showed them as slaves of Pharaoh, and they were waiting on Pharaoh to be better their condition. One other comment, I am going to be finished for today, inshallah. We were told in the Nation of Islam under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's leadership that Mr. Farad said that he had 17 million keys. And the same Mr. Farad said that our population at that time was, say, 17 million people. Now, you know the record doesn't show that. It shows much less, like 9 or 10 or 11 million. at that most back then. But let's look at this language that he gives us. He said we are numbered 17 million in the United States. Then he says he has 17 million keys. I heard the Honorable Elijah Muhammad say with his own mouth that he intends to get every one of you. Isn't that what he used to say? You heard him. Many of you that I'm looking at, you were back there, and you sat in the temple, in the seat just like I did. And I sat in an audience until I started becoming a minister. And I sat up on the rostrum. But many times, even after I became a minister, I sat in the audience with you because I was not the main minister. It was somebody else, Sheikh Shabazz, or later Brother Yusuf Shah. So I was in the audience like you are with you. And we heard the Honorable Elijah Muhammad say, we are going to get every one of them. Now, that's my belief, that if we have something good, it is for all of our people. But should we wait for them to become Muslims? So we are supposed to be helping them. We don't have to wait for them to become Muslim. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad built bakeries under his leadership. He did it. He's a figure that we have to recognize who started everything, bakeries, restaurants, clothing stores, printing press for the paper, and all those things. Thousands of acres of farmland and trucks on the road, or trucks to bring in the good, et cetera, the goods, et cetera. Bringing watermelons, a big, big picture. So he opened up jobs for non-Muslims, didn't he? And non-Muslims were working just like Muslims. He provided jobs for them. We should do the same thing now. But we should be more serious about building the life of the community and the life of a people who need their community life built up. We should be more about that than we are about looking at business and dollars coming in from businesses. And if we do that, if we are motivated by a desire to see community life and neighborhood life improved and made better, and the quality of our families made better, if we are serious about that, this is the opening for businesses. Business will thrive and grow, and many will be coming in. Don't worry about that. That's second to the most important. Do the most important. Have the spirit of the most important. And that's which comes second to it will be so much until you will be shocked. You will be amazed. And say, wow, yes. So let us get back to that mind that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his teacher wanted us to be in. That we are a hope, that we want to be a hope for our people and an answer to their prayers. Better conditions for all African Americans coming as a result of our mission in these United States. Better conditions for all African Americans. And we should not turn down anybody. Look at the human content, as Dr. King said. Look at the human content. And if the human content is there, we have to give them all we've got. That's right. So we are going to have some Caucasian, non-African Americans, some whites. We will have different people, some Spanish. We have them already. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad had them, but their members will grow when they learn that we are working really for the human shrine, to establish the human shrine, the sacredness of the human life. So when they know that we are going that with, a vision for community betterment, community progress, believe me, they are going to be more than just us coming. But don't think that you have to have them. And don't be afraid of their presence. Some of us, we only have the courage to give our enthusiasm and our support if it is all black. If we think we are going to have some members of other ethnic groups there, we lose spirit. And I said, some of us, not all of us, but there are some of us like that. Don't feel that. There is nobody who can come in here. E.T. can't come in here like that and make us feel small. Nobody can come in here and make us feel small. I don't care who they are or where they are from. They cannot come in this place and make us feel small. So don't you be ashamed to work alongside because side them. Don't you be ashamed to use broken English in their presence. If that's all you have to use something. They say Moses' tongue was tied, but God still chose him, and he still did a marvelous work. Be like Moses. Ask God to untie the knot in your tongue. Don't be satisfied with it. Moses asked God to unite the knot. So you do the same. Whatever you have that you think is holding you back or takes you from your worth as a person, ask Allah to help you with it. But don't you stop your work. You come right on in there. Come on in there and get into the work field with us. Get in there and get your tools or whatever you can do. Pick it up. And if you study in your speech, we'll say, brother, don't worry about explaining it. We'll do the good works. We're doing good works. I'm serious. This is what we have to do. We cannot hold back, be ashamed of nothing. Isn't that what Allah says for the special group, special community that should be born out of the broad Islamic community? Let there come out of you a community, that means out of the general community, a model community that will be a witness to God, that God has revealed the Quran. And he's chosen the model human being, Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, and has gathered the people together upon their own human work, a model community, and it says, and do not fear the criticism of the criticizer. So you may say, I don't know that Arabic. I hope you don't think that was Arabic I was teaching you. Oh, yes, but you couldn't have that if you didn't know the Arabic. So look, I couldn't have the Arabic if I had been prepared to have the mind and the heart and the spirit that I have to look at this reality. I hate to point to anybody, but we have members of this community who have gone overseas. We had brothers who became Hafiz over in Saudi Arabia, Medina, I think. What are they producing? They have the Arabic. You need the spirit. You have to have the spirit, not for your own profession. That's secondary. You need the spirit for the case, for the cause. And Allah will bless you. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak. But with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the praise and the thanks is for God. We thank him for the gifts and the blessings of model human person Muhammad, the honorable and noble servant and messenger of God. And what follows in that salute or that traditional salutation to the last prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, the seal of the prophet mentioned in the Bible as it is given in the Quran. So yesterday we were focusing on the original life as planned by the Creator himself, Allah God, who made everything and he is still making everything. So this is true. If you have the insight to understand it, and that man is doing is only as an instrument of God, and just like a laborer will occasionally clean up his instrument, tools, then again God would do the same for the human family. So we are his instruments, and God says, come willingly or resisting, it matters not with God. So if you resist, he knows how to make the resistor contribute to his plan. If you agree, then he rewards you generously, and he does away with his servant anytime he pleases. And you cannot die until he, God, your creator, permits it. So we think we have life and death in our hands. Never. We could not decide how we were going to come here, how we are going to be born. And we cannot decide the time of our death. Only the creator decides that. So we are told in this scripture that Allah, our Lord, creator, has the heavens and the earth, all the universe, in his one hand, and the human existence in the other hand. And by hand, it means control. That is what it means in English also. There was a phrase we say, will you handle that? It means, will you control that? Will you take the responsibility? So that is what it means. But there is no image of God. The Bible says, make no picture of God in the heavens and the earth. So this is what the Bible, the Old Testament, says. And you know they change from that, because that's what the Old Testament says. In Islam, it says, La tadrakul, la tadrakul asira, la tadrakul asira. I'm learning this Arabic, so be patient with me. I'm a student like you. So God says no sight can capture him. No sight can reach him like a photograph of him or something. No, not your sight. Not no instrument, nothing. La tadrakul asira. But his vision captures everything. Everything is captured by his vision. But no vision can catch him. This is Quran. So Prophet Muhammad did not permit any image or drawings to be brought into the Kaaba or any masjid where you pray or make salat. So this is why you won't find any pictures of anybody in the masjid now. So we are conforming to what has been traditional for 14 centuries or more. No pictures. Why? Because man went through a stage in the history of his progress and development for community and cultural life that was called it the Romance era, where he fell in love with knowledge. He fell in love with his values as a thinker, as a creator or producer of fine works. He had been going even before the age he called the Romance Age. But when the Romance Age came and the artist was drawing a lot of pictures of human beings in one profession or another, or in one cultural field or another, those that they love because of their great contributions from their intelligence to the society. So they made gods of some of them. They pictured them as gods, as deities. And I said it started long before the Romance Age. But it was during that time. And it was really booming. Prophet Muhammad, when he came, he addressed the practice of the ancients and the medieval people at that time, and forbid that Muslims have any image of man, humans or animals in the worship service. In fact, pictures of plants were permitted in art, but even animals were permitted for sacrifice, research, etc. But it was not to come into the culture. That practice has prevailed until now, and I'm sure it will prevail in the future and for all times to come for Muslims on this planet Earth, because it has been established so clearly and so strongly by the Prophet. Even in your home, we don't want to take it too far and say you can't have pictures of your relatives, your babies and family in your homes, but where you pray, you should have a room for Salat. And in that room, you should not have any pictures or images that can be seen by the ones who are making Salat. So we are in the month of Ramadan, the month that is called the blessed month. Every Ramadan, I enjoy more than at any other time the company of the believers. And I also experience blessings coming to me more than at any other time. And I'm not talking about the gifts I received yesterday, 150, from my dear friend and sister who is like a close relative to me from Detroit. She woke up, she walked up and greeted me, and she had money. I'm used to it, and I said, I'm doing well. I'm doing real well in the month of Ramadan. I was letting her know that I know you don't like to see me with dry, parched mouth and can't eat and drink like I like to, but I'm okay. Now I'm in good shape. But she said, we want you to have this. This is not just from me. It is also from my son. Beautiful people, Muslims. I mean, you all. I'm talking to all of you. You are a beautiful, wonderful people. He loved them like no other loved them. Good Christians, when you are around them, they have the same nature, the same spirit. And you feel this connection, this relationship at heart. To heart, the believer's heart. You feel it with them, too. So when people are not in your faith, they believe there is a superior over them, that they cannot bribe, but love them. And they know he loves them like no other loved them, with divine love. That's God's love. When you are with them, you forget they are not Muslims. You will be talking with them and socializing with them, and you forget that they are not Muslims. That shows you that when we are in our innocence and in our purity that God created us in, the beginning, there is no identity but one, and that is the person of faith to the person of faith. So have experienced that with Jews and Christians. I have experienced that with even with some people who are not even named in the Holy Book. That spiritual bonding is the best, not money, not sexual, not ego. Allah made us to be of one spirit. That is what it means. when it says he created the man and then he gave man of his own spirit. God gave the man of his own spirit. And when we have that spirit of our first father called Adam, that God gave, we know he did not have any children before he got that spirit. In fact, he was not even Adam until he got that spirit. So he was in the process of becoming a complete creature. So we are in the form and spirit that Allah wants us in his angels or at our service. So when God breathed the spirit into him, then he was the man that God selected. And I guess that it is why God told the angels to wait until I have given him of my spirit. And then you make sajda to him. That is only to tell us that when we are in the form and the spirit that Allah wants us in, his angels are at our service. Their existence is to support our life that God wants for us on this earth. One of the principal articles of faith or belief is that we believe in the angels. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Marat Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. We will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m. Inshallah, it only means if it please Allah, or it please God. We thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.